Hi, besties, and welcome back to the Sad to Savage podcast. I'm your host, Shelby Sacco, and I'm so excited for this episode. We're basically going to be going over how 1 year can change your entire freaking life. But even deeper than that, I think one choice can change your entire life. Over the last year, my life's completely transformed, and in this episode, I'm honestly going to attempt to do it justice. I don't know if I'll be able to. Like, how do you fit one of the craziest, most amazing, challenging, wildest years of your life into a podcast episode? I don't know, but I'm going to try. I also want to share like a deeper and honest perspective into each thing that happened, how I reacted, what I think helped me become so successful, things I'm doing moving forward, things I'm changing, advice from me, and more. I'm going to go through and tell you guys the timeline of events over the last year, and then I'm going to go over them one by one. And in this episode, I want it to be more conversational. I feel like my podcast has been super scripted or super edited, and in this one, I want it to be just super conversational, even though it's just one person recording an episode. But I love you guys, and I just want to talk to y'all. So in 2022, I mean, I think every single area of my life drastically changed, but this is the breakdown. On January 21st, my first TikTok went viral. Now, I had posted other videos, like other TikToks, but they were like trends or like videos of my family on vacation. My first video talking about habits went viral. In April, I launched my Sad to Savage 6-week course. In June, I quit my 9-to-5 and I went full-time on my business, which is called Sad to Savage. In the summer, I started getting paid for brand deals. On August 1st, I started my podcast, hey! And then in August, I also filmed my Google commercial. In November, I announced that I was a co-owner of Memory, my second company. And now, the end of December, I'm about to hit 1 million followers. As I'm recording this, I think I'm at like 998,000. Now, that's everything that's like, oh, so glamorous about my life, right? And I also am going to talk about in this episode, like, the things that I probably wouldn't add to like a highlight reel on my Instagram, like a post where I'm just like swiping, like, wow, 2022. These things might not be in there, but they're real. They're things that I had to do, learn, and experience. And like, because of these lows, I had all of my high moments. Now, I'm very, very, I don't know if the word's certain, but I think that everything in life has like the yin and yang, where you to get the good, you have to go through the bad, or every good thing also comes with bad things or sacrifices. Now, an example of this would be my business, my first Sad to Savage business. It was such a high, something so amazing, but staying in every Friday, every Saturday, working on my business every morning, every night, not hanging out with friends, not hanging out with my boyfriend, not hanging out with my family. Those lows, those bads, that was like the, I forget which one's good, yin or yang, but those things had to happen for me to have that high. Now, anyway, I'm going to talk about the other things, and some of those things are losing friends, experiencing the happiest but the loneliest year of my entire life, placing boundaries with my family that I didn't previously have, working myself to the point of going delusional, and then again to the point of my body giving out, having extreme guilt over my availability, struggling to make friends because I struggled to spend time with my family. Those are all things that I also experienced intertwined throughout all of those big peak moments in my 2022. Now remember, this episode's giving a deeper and honest perspective into each thing that happened, while also going into things I learned from or I'm going to do different in the next year. So those things on the bad list, like I really do think there's so much that I did learn from them, and even things on the good list. All right, we're going to start with going over on January 21st when I posted my first TikTok that went viral. Now that day will always be so special to me. I was at the gym and I'd gone to Peach Lab at 6 a.m. I went to walk for 2 miles after. And then on the treadmill, I was looking up habits on TikTok. And I love TikTok, but it was more like a funny thing for me. I didn't use it that much as a resource yet. And when I looked up habits, I realized that there was no one teaching habits or explaining them. No one explaining them. And I was pissed. I was actually so mad. And I'm like, what? Why does everyone post about being an it girl or that girl, but no one's actually teaching you how? They're just posting and showing their perfectly aesthetic life, and they're not teaching you, and it just makes you feel bad about yourself. Because in my Sad to Savage phase, when I was in the sad, I literally would compare myself, my body, my life. I would just feel so horrible. I would judge myself because I would judge others. And it took a lot of learning how to not do that. But from the outside perspective, I'm like thinking like my sisters are seeing this. Like what would I have thought if I was still in the sad seeing these things, right? So I went home and I posted a video basically ranting, being like, I changed my life. I went from sad to freaking savage, and I'll help you teach your, or help you change your life too. And by the time I got in the shower and out, I had already gone viral. I had like 10,000 more followers. I think I hit like 50,000 that night, which was crazy. I think I had like 8,000 originally because I posted a video that went viral like months before about how I had sweaty hands. Anyway. But when that video went viral, the way I responded to it, I believe, is why I have been so successful. Now, I didn't know what to do right away, but I knew I had to do something. And so what I did was I immediately started giving every ounce of free time towards making content. Now, that was before work, after work, and every single weekend. With that, I stopped hanging out with my boyfriend. I always feel so bad when I say that, but I stopped hanging out with my boyfriend. I didn't hang out with my family, didn't hang out with friends. I didn't drink, because every second that I had honestly had to go towards TikTok. And the reason being is, number one, I knew that I was able to effectively communicate and teach habits. Number two, I knew there was a space for it because I had just gone on a rant how no one was doing it. Number three, I could see people already learning. And then number four, I wanted this to be my career. I'd been teaching habits and routines and how to be productive and how to form, like, how to change your life on Instagram for the previous year and a half. I knew how to do it. I'd already started creating a class, and this was my opportunity to grow and make this my full-time job. So I gave everything to it. Now in April, I launched my course. Now I'd already started creating my six-week course in 2021, but in April, I actually launched it. And I had five classes. I think I had 150 students, which was an amazing launch. Like, I can't even believe. And you know, those students I'm still friends with. I still see, like, someone just got engaged the other day. Like, I still talk to them all the time. That was the coolest thing that I will never get over. I will never get over launching my class. But the weeks leading up to this, I did not do anything but sit, but do my habits, my routines, and sit in my room and perfect my class because I was so excited. I was so nervous. I'd never created a, like, I didn't actually ever launch a class before. Like, it was this big, scary thing that I was doing. Now, one thing that I get asked all the time is, do I ever have imposter syndrome? And I've never struggled with imposter syndrome. I've never been like, oh, I'm unworthy, or I don't deserve this, or like, this isn't me, like, I'm faking it. I've never felt like that. And I think it's because of my self-love and the words that I choose to tell myself and believe about myself. But in that time frame, building my class, it was more, I was struggling with like, I hope this is good enough. I hope. And I knew it was, but I was just like, oh my gosh. I had taken probably like six classes on my own at that point, and I knew that I was giving everything and more to the class. And since then, I'm on session, I think 13 right now, which I'm so proud of. It's been so amazing. I have a new class about to launch, but it is so crazy how launching that class basically also changed the trajectory of my life. Back then, I was working for, I was a data analyst for GMC and Buick, and I would basically monitor, which are cars, I'd basically monitor their social media, I'd study their analytics, and I would like create reports on their KPIs. Right before, I think in, I don't know what month, but I got picked up by JBL to do the same thing. Oh, actually not the same thing, to run their TikTok account. And so I launched my class while I was working the job for JBL. Now, from that first class launch, I made enough money that I could quit my full-time job, but I really struggled with anxiety over, I don't know if I'll have money coming back in. Like, I don't know how to track this, study this, make sure that this is something that will be good for the long run, like, I guess financially. But basically what happened, oh, and now we're on the next one, which is June. I quit my 9-to-5 and went full-time on my Side of Savage business. Basically what happened was I was working a 9-to-5 job that never ended at 5. Oh my gosh, I wouldn't get done working until like 5 or 8 every night, and I'd be like freaking out. I was teaching 5 sessions, 5 different classes of my Sad to Savage 6-week course, which were about an hour and a half classes. We had a Facebook group, a group me. I was also still making content for my TikTok, for my Instagram, and I was extremely overwhelmed. I already did not get to like see my friends. I didn't hang out with my boyfriend. I was still just go, 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 go. And when I quit my job, I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. Like, I'm going to have so much more time. And I will say my goal was that I wanted to quit my job so that I could give every single ounce of effort to what I was doing, right? Because at this point, I knew how many lives, how many people I was reaching, how many people I was teaching, how many lives I was changing, how many people I was connecting with. It was insane. It was mind blowing, right? And it was happening in front of my eyes, and I wanted to give all of my time to it. I wanted it to be my full-time job. And I truly can say that since the moment I went viral, well, no, I can say since July of 2020, when I started learning about habits and routines, teaching it has been my passion and my purpose. And so I finally quit my job in June. I basically just couldn't do it. Like, I was like getting 2 hours of sleep. This is when I went delusional. Also, if you guys have read my old or listened to my old podcast episodes, I was getting like 2 hours of sleep because I was trying so hard to like do my job, teach my classes, do the best that I could do, create videos, edit videos. My videos at the time would take me like 3 hours to edit. It was crazy, crazy, crazy. But I quit my job in June, and from there, things only picked up and got crazier. So in the summer, I started getting paid for brand deals. Up until then, I basically, like, I'd worked with clothing brands, or like random, yeah, really just clothing brands. And they would pay me in exchange, like in exchange for videos, they'd pay me in clothing, which was really great because before then I had not bought myself a piece of clothing in a year and a half. And the reason for that was I was broke, number one, while also trying to buy a house and save up and buy a house. And then when I did, I had no money left, like nothing. And so any money that I made for my job would go to my bills or it would go to my house. Like, I needed a rake, like, or I had to spend like $80 a month in the winter on salt. And that was like killing me because it wasn't in my budget, right? So I had not bought myself anything for so long. So getting clothes was really, really exciting. But in the summer, I started getting paid for brand deals. Now, I don't know if you guys noticed this, but I don't really take too many brand deals. I'm really lucky that, I guess, the position that I'm in as an influencer, I don't have to rely on brand deals as my income. My income is from my class, my business, my Sad to Savage business. Hey. So when it comes to brand deals, I can be pickier, but in the summer is when I started getting paid for them. I remember I partnered with Microsoft. I partnered with Ruggable, which I love Ruggable. I have their rugs all over my house. I had like a 3-month contract with them, and I was like screaming, like jumping on my bed, so excited. Who else did I partner with that month? I partnered with The Honest Company, which is Jessica Alba's brand, which I use literally to this day. I love like brands that I actually really wanted to work with, and I was so proud. And that was happening in the summer. On August 1st, which it feels like yesterday, but somehow it also feels like forever ago, I started my podcast, Sad Savage. And this podcast was probably the hardest thing that I added in up, like, I'm trying to think how to explain this. This was territory that I did not understand. Now, when I went viral on TikTok, it was all brand new, unknown, but I understood it, right? Like, I knew I had my healthy habits, I had my routines, I knew how to teach habits, right? I'm very, very talented and very educated when it comes to habits. And so teaching it was one thing. Like, I could do that. The learning curve was more learning how to edit, learning TikTok features, making time for it. When it came to my podcast, you guys, I had no idea, no clue. I really underestimated the time commitment, the actual effort that I would put into it. And I really, when it comes down to it, I didn't realize that having a podcast was an entire job. And it really is. And it makes sense because running a podcast is people, like, it's someone's full-time job. It's so many people's full-time jobs. And when I realized that, I was like kicking myself. I'm like, oh my God, of course. Like, that makes sense. Like, how did I overlook this? So what I did for my podcast, because I had no idea how to start it, but I knew I wanted to do it, was I took a class. And now, okay, this might come off biased because I have a 6-week class, but if there's ever anything that you want to learn, that you want to do, I could not suggest more to take a class. Okay, that is what I did for every single thing. I think I've taken 6, not including like all of my classes for my certifications that I'm taking right now. I took a class in social media marketing, and I started a social media marketing business like 4 years ago. And that business failed, yes. But when it came time to like register my LLC for Sad to Savage and do all the paperwork to run my 6-week class, like, I had a little bit of experience from my class, from my failed business, and it was so much easier the second time. Now, for my podcast, I took a class, and the class basically told me like what websites to use, what equipment to get, how to upload, like all the terminology. And it really, really did teach me a lot. Sorry, I'm still a little bit sick, you guys. But what what happened was I started posting my podcast, like editing, like filming, doing all these things, trying to upload, but I tried to add that into an already crammed and really busy schedule. And now looking back, I've worked really hard over the last couple of months to try to find balance, but what I realized was I wasn't balanced when I tried to add in a new huge job. So for example, up until August, like I had just started kind of like having a little bit of freedom on the weekends. Like I just started being like okay with going on my boyfriend's boat with his brothers and being like, okay, it's okay to have fun. It's okay to let loose a little bit. It's okay to not work 24/7. And then I added in a whole nother job when I wasn't all the way ready. But this podcast is worth it times a million. Like I love this. I love getting to talk to you guys in long form. I love getting help with you, help you guys to connect to you guys. I just had no idea when it happened how that it was a job. That's all. I just had no idea. But since then, my podcast has something crazy. Like almost we're close to like maybe 360,000 downloads. Like that is insane. And I'm so grateful for each and every single one of you for being here. And actually something crazy is happening in the new year with my podcast, which it's hard because y'all, I can't keep a secret. I can't keep one to save my entire freaking life. And I would like love more than anything to tell you guys. I just don't know if I'm allowed. It's so hard because I love telling people everything. Like I cannot keep a secret. Christmas gifts that I bought people. I don't know. I think I've told everyone all the gifts that I got them because I got too excited. I genuinely think that. Okay. After the podcast in August. Oh, actually, you know what? I want to stay on the podcast for a second. I'm still figuring it out, as you guys know. Like, I didn't have an episode last week. Why? Because I got so, so sick. I basically ran my body into the ground from working too hard, and then I went out of town for the Bahamas. And so I had planned to film two episodes before, but I had gotten so sick, I couldn't even talk. And then when I got back from the Bahamas, I still couldn't talk. So I couldn't film those episodes, so I didn't have one film to post, and I wasn't prepared. And so it's always everything that you're going to do in life. It's never a fail. Like that for me wasn't a fail. Like I didn't fail. I'm not so disappointed in myself. What that was me learning, right? That, okay, oh, I thought that I was going to be prepared because I had the episodes planned out and all I had to do was record it. Oh, I didn't know I was going to get sick and sound so disgusting that I could not put that out on the world and force you guys to listen to, right? But all that is learning. Okay, so moving forward, I need to figure out how I can film these episodes so far in advance that doesn't happen, right? Everything in life you're going to learn from, and every failure, it's all it is just you getting one step closer to learning what is going to work for you. Now in August, I also went and I flew out to LA and I filmed a Google commercial, a literal freaking Google commercial. I think that blows my mind. I got a call one night, late at night, and it was like, it was my sister's friend who was my sorority who worked at this production agency and they wanted an influencer for their Google commercial. And she called me and she was like, hey, like she just had my number and was like, hey, can you fly out to LA tomorrow and come be in this commercial? And when I tell you guys, I've never gotten so close to like throwing up on the spot. I didn't know how to respond. I was like, oh my God, yes. Like, yeah, I can go. And I literally went. And there are so many things that situation, why that makes sense to me. Every single day, I tell myself that I'm good at talking to people, I'm good in new situations, and I'm comfortable in any situation. I did not feel like that in the past. I actually went through a really bad phase where going into CVS would make me hysterically cry in my car. Like, I couldn't even bring myself to do that. I didn't go and meet new people. I didn't want to hang out with people. I didn't want to talk to people. I was really, really struggling with myself and being in those situations. And what I did to change that was slowly change my consistent thoughts around it. Right? So when I got that opportunity, that was a no-brainer. That was easy. I mean, the hardest part about that was figuring out where to go at the airport. Right? And it's like, that's the fact that I went and did that and was in California for a week filming this commercial. I was so proud of myself and it was such a cool opportunity, but it wasn't like something that just came. I mean, it did come really easy naturally, but because of all of the other habits that I've built up to that point, especially self-love. Now that commercial was crazy. It's on TV. You know what, you guys? You know what I have to say? That commercial plays on Hulu, it plays in movie theaters, it played during the World Series, it plays during sports games. My ex-boyfriends, I think about this all the time. I don't think about them all the time, but I just think like, where did they see it? Where did they see it? Because I know they saw it. I have had so many people tell me they've seen it. Where were they? Were they at the movie theater? like my ex-boyfriend that treated me like a $6 Subway sandwich, was he sitting at home watching, oh no, was he sitting at a bar watching the World Series? And then he literally like rubbed his eyes like, is that Shelby? Yes. I think about that all the time. Where did he see my Google commercial? Because I know he saw it. Anyway, in November, I announced that I was a co-owner of Memory, which is my brand that creates daily brain gut nutrition, which is my, I cannot be more proud that I am a co-owner of this brand. I'm obsessed with it. Now, I had actually started working with them in April, where I got their stuff. I tried their drinks for so long. I partnered with them. I love them. I pitched myself as a co-owner. And now here I am announcing in November. And there was so much, you guys, so much that led up to that, because you couldn't, I couldn't be co-owner of a company and not know what I was talking about. So I spent months studying brain health, studying gut health, studying basically our product, working with both with my other partner, learning, educating. I listened to so many podcasts, read so many books. Like every single step in my timeline, there's work before and there's work after. But Memory is something that I'm still consistently, every single piece of knowledge, I can't stop. Like I'm so intrigued and I love learning and I love that this product is so amazing that I'm a part of it. But then there's also the aspect, things that I've been doing now for Memory, which I think I, at this point, I need to check the KPIs, but at this point, I think I tripled sales for Memory since I've signed on. And that's insane. And it's such a good product. It's crazy, but I'm trying to figure out how to market it, how to get better at like building brand awareness. And it's really cool to like try new strategies online and grow. And while I'm on that topic, that's another thing. Like when it comes to this podcast, I'm like, how do I market it? How do I get people to know about it? And you guys sharing it, like posting it on your Instagram stories or tagging me or putting it on TikTok, like that, I cannot thank you guys enough, because I really do genuinely think that like I get so many DMs saying like, I saw this on so-and-so's story, or my friend sent me this, or I saw someone post this. And it's like, thank you so much, because then the messages from people are like, you helped me with this breakup, or I'm going through this and I really related to this. It's really like, oh wow, I'm gonna cry, hold on. Sometimes I just get so like, I feel like I'll cry, it will just hit me not out of nowhere, it could just hit me really fast. But I just think it's crazy, but I need to figure out how to market that a little bit better on my on TikTok, on Instagram. If anyone has any ideas, let me know. But I am really, really grateful every single time you share it. And every time you share Memory, thank you. Now, okay, it's the end of December and I'm about to hit 1 million followers on TikTok, which this has been the hardest year of my life work-wise, because while I'm growing on TikTok, posting videos, editing videos, coming up with new trends, studying, seeing what content does good of mine, what content does bad, what content I want to post, connecting with you guys, I'm also then doing a podcast that I'm basically researching, editing, filming, thinking of ideas for. I'm running a second business, Memory. I'm teaching right now two sessions. I think I have 90 students in my Sad to Savage class. Oh no, I have 70 in my Sad to Savage class. Like there's all these things going on. And I think that I give off this perception that I have it all figured out when I don't, but I am figuring it all out. So every single day I have my habits, my consistency, right? Like working out, waking up early, eating 60-80% healthy. All of those things are my habits, right? So that when I add in things like this, like a new business, I add that in and I have to figure that out during the day. All of those other hard things that keep me actually like functioning and mentally and physically okay, like working out, eating healthy, those things I already have figured out because they're habits. I think if there's anything that I can contribute my success to, it's the fact that I have healthy habits and routines that I don't have to think about, that I do every single day, that make me the best version of myself. For example, my nighttime routine, getting in bed, getting sleep, waking up early and going and working out. Working out helps me so much with my brain, and my nutrition goals, and just overall like a place to working out in the morning. Like I get time to myself before I start my workday. So all of those things really, really, really add up. I want you to stop and say, what is one thing you want to work on and add into your life that you want to become a habit? So it could be something small, right? Maybe waking up 15 minutes earlier, maybe working on a nighttime routine. Everything takes work. And everything, there's nothing that you're going to get right away. It's all going to be something that you put in work towards and get in the long run. But I swear every single thing that I've done this year has been so worth it, but so much work, so much freaking work. I can't believe also that I'm about to hit 1 million followers. And I want to say I'm so grateful for every single one of you. I obviously could not do it without you, and I love you guys so much. Oh, and I have giveaways going on my TikTok and my Instagram, so check those out. Okay, now we're going to go into the other category, the one that's not so glamorous, but that also happened over the last year. And one is losing friends. Now, I think I lost friends for a couple different reasons. One, I think it's okay to outgrow friendships when you change. There was so much about me over the last year that changed. My values, the way that I acted during the week, on the weekends, my time, my availability, my wants, my goals. I changed. I completely changed this year, and I'm becoming the person that I want to be, right? I'm no longer the person that maybe my friends knew or that my family knew, you know? And that sounds weird, but I wasn't. I was completely different. So losing some friends, like maybe we just didn't have, well, for some of my friendships, we don't have the same interests. So we didn't have things to do hanging out. For example, some of my friends are single, or maybe they wanted to drink and go out on the weekends. But like, I didn't do that anymore because I was growing my businesses and working every weekend. Like, that makes sense that we kind of had falling outs. I struggled with my friend group, and this is why I say it was the loneliest year of my life. Well, there's a couple of reasons why it was the loneliest year of my life, but my friends just wouldn't invite me to things. And it did break my heart, honestly. I'm not going to lie. It made me really sad because I, from my perspective, like I was just working. I didn't have any times that I was like hanging out with friends. I mean, I really didn't. There were months where like I didn't do anything but work and film and grow my brand online. And it was worth it. Like, I loved what I was doing. I loved what I was doing. But you can feel that absence of, like, human connection, right? Like, it got to the point where, like, my roommates wouldn't ask me to do things because I was always so busy working. And then my friends didn't – they wouldn't even ask me. And they would say things like, oh, we just assumed you were working. And that really hurt. But other reasons why I say I experienced the loneliest year of my life – is because I kind of isolated myself from people. Like, I isolated myself from my boyfriend. I wanted to work. I want to be successful. I became so successful this year by making these sacrifices, but it was really lonely. Like, being in my bedroom on Fridays and Saturday nights when people were out drinking or hanging out, or like going to sleep in my bed when I just want to be hanging out with my boyfriend. But those things, like, that was necessary for me. Like, there's this thing that I would tell myself all the time that was like, if you want a specific life, you can't make the same choices that everyone else around you is making. And I think I might have leaned into that a little bit too much. Like, I really identified with it. And I was like, okay, like, I don't get to have movie nights. Like, I don't get to drink and go to the bar and have a hungover weekend. I don't get to do those things if I want this life. And you know what? That's how I lived, and I have a different life. So there is something to say there. But I think I took it to a point where I didn't have to isolate myself. Now, there were things that contributed, right? Like, my friends didn't invite me, so I didn't necessarily have the opportunity to get to spend time with them. And when it came to my boyfriend, it was like, I want to build this life for us. I want to be able to have money for kids. Like, all these things where I really did isolate. I would be in my room sometimes from, like, when I would get back from my morning routine until, like, the end of the night. Excuse me. The end of the night because I was working. And it's crazy how I think I lost a little bit of myself to work, just because I didn't have, for the longest times, experiences. And so that's kind of what brought me to the loneliest year. I didn't really get to see my family that much because I was just busy. But that's why I got my cats. I could cry. I love my cats so much, Hank and Henry, because I told my dad. I didn't really tell him everything. But I told him, like, I'm so lonely, like, I'm just working so much, and I was really struggling for a moment. Like, I was just like, oh, like, it's hard to be, like, working from home when no one's home and you're all alone, like, not working in an office, not seeing people, not leaving the house. I didn't have a car during this time, and my dad bought me a cat. He actually only got me one. My mom doesn't know this. I don't think she listens to my podcast, though, so I can say this here. My dad bought me a cat and my sister Bella a cat, and he asked me if I could watch them for a week while he came up with an excuse to tell my mom. Like, we would always buy cats when we were in high school, when we were younger, and we'd bring them home and we'd tell my mom that we found them outside, like they were stray cats, and she'd let us keep them. And so my dad was trying to come up with, like, where he found the cat, and I had them for a week. And after 2 days, I called my dad and said, like, you will have to fight me to take this cat away from me. He's mine. Like, this cat is not leaving my house. Bella's not taking him. I'll buy Bella a new cat, but like, there's no way. And so Henry was actually my cat, and Henry's my white cat. And then Hank is my darker cat. And that one was supposed to be Bella's. And when I say they loved each other, like, they still do love each other so much. They do everything together. Like, right now I'm filming this podcast and they're laying together underneath my desk, like, holding hands, laying together, waiting for me to be done. They have made me so happy. So actually, you know what? If anyone's struggling, like, you work from home and you're struggling with feeling lonely, I do really, really, really suggest getting a pet. It has improved. My pets have improved my life. I can't even measure how much I love them and how much fun I have with them. Like, I got a stroller and I would take them for walks during, like, every single day when it was, like, nice weather outside in the stroller. And something that I have to say about losing friends, actually, that reminded me, because I gave a little bit of piece of advice, is it's okay to outgrow friendships. It really is. And one thing that I did that I wish I had done a little bit sooner when it came to my friends is I think it was, like, after, like, the third big friend group event that they didn't invite me to, I had said something to them. Like, I said that made me feel really sad. Like, I had explained to them my feelings. I wish I had said something sooner and not assumed that they were, and I don't know, there's two sides to every story, right? Like, it might not have been so purposeful and they might have not, I don't think that they were aware that I was feeling hurt over it, but I wish I had said something sooner. So if you're feeling disconnected or discluded from your friends, I think it really is worth it to stop and explain your feelings without placing blame necessarily, but just saying, like, that didn't make me feel very good. Here's, like, what my opinion of it is. Like, can you explain why? Right? I think that I wish I would have done that a little bit sooner. And then when it comes to experiencing the loneliest year of my life, I think a lot of that was self-inflicted. And I think that in my mind, I was doing what I had to do to create businesses so that I could be financially stable and do this full time. And while there are things that I'm going to change moving forward, it's hard because in my mind, I think to be successful, you can't have the same life that you previously had. If you want a different life, you have to change things. I don't think I had to go that to that extent, but I do think that it benefited me to an extent. Next, placing boundaries with my family. This one's kind of hard to explain, but this one was really hard for me, where I have always been the protector. I've always been there for my siblings. I've always fixed everything, kind of. Like, I love my siblings. I would do anything for them. But I realized I had to protect my peace. And I couldn't take on my siblings' anxiety or my siblings' problems. I had to put up a wall because having four jobs is a lot. It really is a lot. And I feel so lucky and grateful for what I'm doing. But, like, I can't take on. I had to learn that when people in your life that you love, if they make different choices than you, or they're upset, something hurt them, like, it hurts you, right? But I had to start telling myself, like, that is not my life. I can be there for them, but I don't have to take on everyone around me's stress, anxiety, or problems. I can be there for them, right? So I started putting up boundaries with my sisters, with my parents. I also started kind of putting up boundaries around my availability, where, like, for example, like, certain events or family things or just hanging out in general, I would say, like, this is what I am able to do. And that's it, right? Just, like, giving a very clear guideline. I will say, like, I've got a lot of work this week. This is what I can do. And that's the extent of my availability. And that actually helped me so much. But sometimes I just feel guilty over it. Like, I want to be able to do more. I want to do more for my family. In 2023, I think I will still put up boundaries and protect my peace. Because at the end of the day, you cannot take on other people's stress, anxiety, problems. Right? You can only take on yours because that's what you can control, but you can be there for other people. You can love them through it. You can hold their hand, but you cannot take on their stress, their anxiety, their trauma. And this goes for friendships too, boyfriends, relationships, things like that. You just can't take it on. You can be there for them though. Working myself to the point of going delusional and to the point of my body giving out, that is 1000% something that I'm changing. I think that I had to learn that you have limits. You have a point where you're going to burn out. You have a point where you need a break. Breaks aren't bad. And the way that I realized this was my body, when I work out, needs break, right? Like, I work out 5 days a week. In the summer, sometimes I would do six, but I have to have one or two rest days, and that's okay. And there's no shame. There's no guilt around that. Like, you need that, right? That's okay. It's the same thing with work, because I worked every single day nonstop for months. I can't even tell you how many hours I worked this year, a crazy amount, but it didn't, you know, when they say, like, oh, if you find a job that you love, it doesn't feel like work. That is really, really true. I was working, but like I was so passionate and I love it and I'm so excited and I couldn't stop. But I did go delusional. So funny to me. I almost called the cops because I thought someone was trapped in my neighbor's house, but I was just going delusional. And then I literally got so sick and so overwhelmed. My body just gave out. And it is a lesson that you need to give yourself breaks. And I'm still learning. I kind of crave chaos. I've learned, like, I like being busy. I like a lot of things. I grew up as one of six kids in a really hectic family, like always something going on. And so now as an adult, I seek out chaotic environments. I seek out chaos. And so that's something that I've been actively trying to work on. But that's something I 100% in the future, moving forward, I'm going to schedule more times. What I've learned is that scheduling times to watch a movie or scheduling in advance times that I'm going to hang out with my boyfriend, things like that have been really, really helpful. Or texting my sisters and planning big things. For example, this fall, I went up to MSU and I visited my sisters. And it was so fun. It was so cute. Like, I had planned it so that I didn't have stress or anxiety. I finished my work before going and it was really great. So moving forward, I'm going to plan more breaks, plan more things to look forward to with people that I love. Now, I've experienced over the last year extreme guilt over my availability. And that goes into struggling to make friends and struggling to spend time with my family. And the reason behind this is I struggled with my already made friendships where in the end of the year, I went in and I visited one of my friends in California and I went to Nashville. I got invited to that like the week before and I was like, okay, like I'm going. And so I had like maybe like those two things with friends. Other than that, I don't think that I spent time with friends. I spent time with like my family and I have a big family and like a big family group where it's like my family, Jake's family, my sister's husband's family. And that was amazing. And I love that. But when it comes to friends, like struggling to make friends, it was because I didn't have time. And when I had time, I felt so guilty about going and getting coffee with someone when I couldn't even make time to go and get coffee with like my mom. You know what I mean? So moving forward in the future, what I need to do is get better about scheduling my time in advance. Because I know for my life, it's not going to work the day of things where people will text me and say like, my sister tonight, text me, can I come over and sleep over? And it's like, she's home for Christmas break. And that's so fun. And I wish. But no, I'm working, like I have my schedule already planned out. And if I veer from it, I'll have anxiety. Like I know what I have to do. I have to get this work done. So I can't do those in the moments, but I know that I can plan better in the future. So I think planning out times, like specific date nights with my boyfriend, like I'm doing, or planning, I just started planning a monthly coffee date with one of my childhood best friends who has been my best friend for forever. And so that I can actually make time to see her, like things like that are going to be really useful to my life and maintaining my relationships, and I think will also help me remove the stress from making new friends. Because it is really, really, I do just feel guilty when someone will say, oh, can we go get lunch or can we want to get coffee? And I want to make a friend and I want to go with them. And I'm like, that'd be so fun. But I haven't made time to spend with my sisters in months. Like, it's like, I can't, you know what I mean? It's like, I've been really struggling with guilt over my availability. I also, this is a side note, I was bad at texting before I started growing online. I was really bad at answering things on my phone. Oh my gosh, you guys, if you could see my phone right now, it is so stressful. I really get anxiety a lot during the week from text messages because people get mad at me. Like people get upset that I don't text them back. But the problem is I don't even see it. I don't even see it. That's something that I'm going to have to figure out. I've never figured it out in the past. If anyone has any tips for me, I would actually love that because that's something I've struggled with my whole life. But what I want to say, I want to wrap this episode up. But over the last year, my life has completely changed because one choice. But the thing is I made one new choice every single day. Like every single choice you make is a choice for you, is a choice for your future. And so things like choosing to post that video, that choice changed my life. But what really did was the fact that I stopped and I responded to it. And I said, okay, like, I don't need to go out on the weekends. Like, I want to work towards this. I just decided and I went for it and I tried. And there were so many times over the last year, so many times that I quote unquote failed, but I didn't fail. I just got one step closer to finding what worked for me. And I think that's why I'm so successful because I stopped. I didn't shame myself. I didn't doubt myself. I just said, oh, that didn't work. That's okay. Next time I'm going to try this. Any choice that you make for future you is going to bring 100 new choices. And every single day you have the opportunity to change your life, to become who you want to be, to go after your goals, to get to a new goal. It is so crazy the things that have happened to me this year, but this, like, your life truly can change if you choose to change it. The choice, and if we want to go back to before this last year, before 2022, the choice to read the book, The Power of Habit, in July of 2020, when I was struggling, when I was at rock bottom, everything in my life can come back to that choice too. You know what I mean? One choice will change your entire life. And I want to say something else. A lot of people will tell me, you're so lucky. Like, I'm so jealous. You're so lucky when I get like new clothes or something like that. So when someone sends me something, and I don't want this to come off rude, because I know that I'm so lucky. I feel so grateful and I feel so blessed, because I could not afford clothes. I couldn't afford anything. I would cry over not being able to pay my mom like $20 for my phone bill, right? Like, I am so grateful, and I think I'm lucky to an extent. But I think I only ever actually kind of like popped off, because it honestly kind of offends me. I only ever popped off on my little sister one time about it, because I got clothes and she said, oh, you're just so lucky. Like, you just get all this stuff for free. And I was like, I'm not lucky. Like, I work really hard. I work really, really hard every single day. And she was like, oh my God. And I was like, oh my God. Like, you know how you can act a little bit like I could just say that to my sister, whereas someone else, I wouldn't be able to explain like, oh, I'm lucky, but I work really hard, without sounding like an asshole. But to her, I couldn't. She was like, you're right. Like, I'm sorry. But that's just it. Like, you can have your dream life. You can, but you have to choose it. You have to make a different choice. It all starts with you. Like, one choice, you guys, could change your entire life. One choice. I look back and there are 100 choices that I made that I'm like, holy shit, that could be it. That could be it. That could be it. Like, before, like, I took a class for a workout, like learning how to do workouts, which that raised my confidence that I could go to Peach Lab so that I could grow my butt. Like, and so my health is really great and my mental health is really great because my workout habit, and maybe that's why, like, there are so many things that over the last year can attribute to so many little choices. But what I want to leave you guys with is, you are capable of changing your life. I want you guys to sit and ask yourself next year, what is one thing you want next year? What is one change that you can make today so that you can start working towards that goal? Also, if anything, I want this to show that your life will get better. If I would have left when I was sad in 2020, why am I going to cry again? If I would have left, I wouldn't have like met any of you guys. I wouldn't have gotten to teach you guys healthy habits. I wouldn't have gotten to teach my sisters these things. Oh my God, I'm actually crying. But if I would have left, I would have never experienced this. And your life can get so much better. So whatever you're dealing with right now, or whatever your thoughts are telling you that are negative, or whatever you're struggling with, I just want to say I love you and I believe in you. And I know that your whole life can change with just one small choice, one small choice. I'm really, really grateful. I'm really grateful that I decided to stay, and I could never have pictured, oh my gosh, I could just never have pictured all of this. And I'm really, really grateful for all of you guys being here with me during this. And I don't want, anyway, and I don't want any of this to come off like, I guess ungrateful. I just wanted it to all be just like a real perspective into my life, where there are so many things that I'm so grateful for. This has been the best year of my life, but my life isn't quote unquote perfect. I mean, it's perfect to me, but it's because of the perspective that I have, that it's okay to have highs and lows. You're going to have highs and lows, and you're going to learn from them. And that's what's going to make life. That's what makes life life. Like, it's okay to be happy, to be sad, to go a little delusional, to lose friends, to figure out how in the future you can make friends and how you can be better to the friends that you have or the people in your life that you love. Life is all about learning and living. And I think it comes down to our perspective, that we can have a positive perspective. Like, all these things I just feel so hopeful for and so grateful for. And anyway, I'm ranting. And now my nose is stuffy because I started crying, but I love you guys so much, and I'm so grateful for you. Thank you for being here and going sad to savage with me this year. Oh my God, I cannot believe it. My next episode, holy shit, my next episode is going to be basically, oh my God, the perfect timing. I have a sad to savage 55-day challenge that's coming out, and you can do it at any point. So if you're listening to this like in the future, you can do this challenge anytime. Actually, I got to pause this podcast so I can blow my nose. Okay, I'm a little better. You can do this challenge at any time, but what it's going to be is in my next podcast episode, I'm going to walk you through step by step how to participate in the challenge. It's going to be things like building in habit stacking, building in small habits, and I'm going to be doing it on my TikTok account that I have right now, and I also made a second TikTok account called Shelby's Habits that I tag in all my recent videos, so you guys can see me going through day by day how I build in new habits, how I want to show my entire life, like my days more, so you can see my habits during work, how I manage, or how I'm learning to manage my four jobs. But I really want you all to participate in the challenge, and I'm going to teach you how, step by step, to level up your life for 2023. We can create a whole plan together about how you're going to create healthy habits in the new year. And also, if you guys want to try memory, I should have said this when I was talking about memory, but my discount code is SAVAGE for my podcast. Please try it. I love you guys. My boyfriend agreed that once I hit $150,000 in net revenue, he will get me pregnant. And I have him saying it on video, you guys. I actually have a video of him confirming that that's the moment that we can then have a baby, which I could cry. That's all I want my whole life. But if you try memory, please tag me in it. And I can't wait to see it, and I can't wait for y'all to try it. And just, I'm so excited about everything in 2023. Oh my God. And I think I'm thrown off because I was crying. But now I'm going to end it and just say I love you guys. Thank you for being here. I really do consider you guys my best friends. And while I said it was the loneliest year of my life, I also have connected to you guys in ways that I've always felt alone. I mean, I've always felt alone. Like when I was going through my Sad to Savage phase, when I was in the sad phase, when I didn't talk to anyone about how I was feeling, and now coming out and just sharing how I felt and sharing my life. And even right now, like I'm hoping that by sharing these moments too, someone else out there can connect and we can talk about it and relate. But I have gotten to talk to and relate to so many of you guys, and you have made me feel not lonely in that aspect. And I'm just really grateful that we're going through this. I mean, we're on this journey together. I love you guys. I'm so grateful for you guys. And let me know if you like this kind of podcast where I'm just talking and there's no editing. But anyway, okay, I swear I'm done now. Love you guys. Bye. Okay, wait, I'm back, you guys. After listening to that episode through, before I post it, I want to say that I have also made some of the best friends that I will ever have in my life this year too. So while I felt lonely, I met people that I aligned with that were interested in the same things as me, that were going after certain goals that I wanted to have like relationships with, and people who are not close in age to me by any means, who are in different phases of life than me, but that I was still able to connect with for different reasons. And I'm so, so grateful for this year and for those people. And I genuinely am so grateful for everyone that I met online, who I feel like I met in person, who I feel like I'm friends with. And I'm so, so grateful for you guys. And I love you guys. And it's okay to make new friends. That's another thing I want to say. I think I had to learn that this year, that it's okay to let go of friendships. It's okay to hold on to friendships, or it's okay to make new friends aligned with who you are now and based off of who, I guess, how you want to be treated and who you want to spend your time with. Anyway, okay, now I'm actually leaving. Okay, I love you guys. Bye.